CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batsford. The European Union, 27 states with different directions, moving as one? Question mark. I welcome Joseph Sternberg. He is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London. He writes political economics. And he turns now to the question of Europe working with China or working without China or working with caveats that China can be dangerous. Joe, a very good evening to you. There are two kinds of things to worry about if you're the European Union looking suddenly at the perils of doing business with the Chinese Communist Party and its many arms. One is inbound investment. One is outbound investment. Let's talk about inbound first. Inbound describes investment like Huawei. Is that an example of inbound that you must vet carefully? Or is it smaller? I wouldn't recognize the brand. Good evening to you.
Hey, John. So what we're basically talking about here is the flows of trade and investment between Europe and China. So the inbound investment that you're describing is this phenomenon where a Chinese company of any size decides that they are going to come to Europe to buy a European company, as a merger or acquisition, or to build a new factory in Europe, or to open shops here to start selling, any of that kind of investment activity that involves the foreign company bringing capital into your market is the inbound investment. And the reason that we're talking about China's inbound investment into Europe right now is that the European Union in Brussels is starting to talk about this. Within the past week or two, the European Commission, which is the bureaucratic arm of the European Union, has suggested that perhaps they need more orderly, harmonized regulations between the 27 member nations in the European Union for how they are going to vet inbound Chinese investment. And this is not a new problem for anyone. We periodically experience these issues. For example, TikTok has been a big one that's been in the news for many years. And TikTok's expansion into Western markets and investment in the US and Europe to offer that app to smartphone users in the West. And what Brussels is saying is we need to be vetting all of this Chinese investment more carefully to make sure it's not going to impinge on our national security in various ways. And they are doing this partly because the volume of that investment keeps growing, and partly because Europe is waking up to the fact that there are security implications of deepening an economic relationship with a very, very large economy that also is ideologically antagonistic toward Western values of democracy or market economics.
You mention a detail here that this report from last June on the European Economic Security Strategy does not mention China. Why not? Why leave it out if that's what's on everybody's mind?
Well, the key thing that they've been dealing with at the moment is that on the one hand, they understand that they do need a strategy for dealing with China. On the other hand, it is true that China is very much the largest, but not necessarily the only potentially antagonistic country or economy that might be a source of investment in Europe. So, they might feel that they want rules that would accommodate that situation too. But then I think that there also is a fear about doing anything that would be too antagonistic toward China, because Europe does still want to maintain that economic relationship of trade and investment flowing in both directions, which is very important to a lot of European economies, particularly Germany, but not only Germany. And so what they're trying to do is develop the strategy that can nod to the national security implications of this kind of relationship, but without necessarily jeopardizing the parts of that economic relationship that Europe thinks are not related to national security.
Outbound makes more sense to me because of dual-use technology. I can recall early on concerned with equipment coming out of Germany purchased by Iran that was said to be dual-use, having something to do with the suspect nuclear weapons program. It was years ago, but I remember that. Is that a problem with China as well, outbound dual-use equipment?
Well, that issue is included in the strategy that they have been released and been talking about, because they do want to make sure that you aren't going to have any of these dual-use technologies shipping over. And they also want a review process that would be more cognizant of potentially some of the economic or security implications of European companies investing in China and then transferring valuable intellectual property to China where it can be stolen. And what's important to remember here is that although in characteristic European fashion, they think that there has to be a law or a policy about this. In reality, a lot of companies already are very aware of these risks of intellectual property theft and the economic consequences of that for the companies. And so they already have incentives to not do this kind of transfer. And if you talk to a lot of companies that do invest in China or work with Chinese joint venture partners or the like, they already will tell you that they are very careful about the intellectual property that they do send over there. But I think that the bigger message here is that European leaders are increasingly aware that this is an issue that they have in the relationship with China, and they want to convey to European voters and citizens that the policymakers are aware of this and are trying to take steps to deal with some of these issues.
Ad hoc seems to be the threat here. Now, may I try to, my version of ad hoc is you've got 27 states with different opinions of what is China and what can we do with China. And if you don't have uniformity, that means it's easy for China to enter into, say, intellectual property theft that has been associated with China and come in through a country that is lax on security and make and gain access to a country that is not. Is that going on?
That is basically the concern, and there have been a couple of episodes that have really ignited that worry in the European Union. One is a big kerfuffle in 2022 and 23 in Germany about a plan to sell part of the company that operates the major seaport in Hamburg in North Germany to sell part of that port operator to a Chinese state-owned company. And that deal did end up going through, although in a somewhat reduced form and after enormous controversy that lasted for months and months. So that was one episode. I think that there had been concern when Italy was participating in China's Belt and Road Initiative in various forms for a few years there. There was concern about a Dutch chip manufacturer that was going to sell certain technologies to China, although that deal has now been scuppered. And I think that what happened is that a lot of people across Europe were looking at these stories and thinking, first off, why is this other country doing this? And then second, thinking, well, we have a very integrated continent-wide economic bloc, which means that goods that are flowing through that port in Hamburg, for example, aren't only flowing between Germany and China. You might have goods passing through that port that are destined for the Czech Republic or for Poland or for France. And so I think that there was this growing understanding that there needs to be a common policy that people across the EU can trust, that you can't just leave it up to individual governments operating on the fly.
Now for the revelation in your piece. The problem is not China. The problem is Europe. BASF. What is that, Joe? And how is BASF ignoring common sense?
Well, BASF is a German chemical company, a very large one that a lot of people probably heard of at one time or another. And their China problem is actually not that they are ignoring common sense, but that they are following it. In the past couple of years, they've announced that they are reducing their footprint in Europe and expanding in China. And the reason that they're doing that is because the cost of regulatory compliance in Europe, energy costs in Europe, especially in their home country, Germany, are just making it uneconomic for them to operate here. And so their only choice to stay, keep going as a profitable going concern is to increase investment in China where they can economically do business. And this is the key part that Europe is going to have to grapple with as they think about what economic security means. Because right now, Brussels and a lot of national politicians are talking about this as if what they need is new rules, like what we were just talking about for vetting the inbound or outbound investment, that if they have the right policies, that will provide for Europe's economic security vis-a-vis China. That's not true. What will actually do it is a healthy, thriving European economy that is capable of producing productive economic growth and, you know, steadily rising wages for a wide variety of European workers over extended periods of time. And that's not what they have. You know, whether it's tax policy or regulatory policy or especially climate policy more recently, Europe has been deindustrializing itself. And that inevitably leaves it vulnerable to parts of the world that are very happy to have an industrial base where European companies can operate and where companies can manufacture the goods that Europeans still want to produce. And that means China. And until you solve that problem, Europe will always have a tortured and very vulnerable relationship with China.
The green policy in Europe, far ahead of the U.S., but the green policy involves access to certain rare earths. China dominates that story. I understand. Is that a problem for the European Union that now and again China plays that card as if it's a monopoly? And the green ambition for Europe, does it bother people that China is untrustworthy when it comes to data and also can prosecute you if you try to take data out of China that is your possession?
Well, I think that the Europe's drive to renewable energy is the clearest evidence I can point to that they are actually not serious about dealing with their China vulnerabilities. And it's because the renewable energy stuff makes Europe vulnerable twice over. First off, it increases energy costs in Europe and reduces energy reliability. So you are hastening the exit from Europe of all of the industries that used to prosper here that require cheap, reliable energy. I mean, this is a big problem in Germany right now, this hollowing out, and those jobs are not replaced. So that already creates an economic vulnerability for Europe. And then the manufacturer of all of those solar panels and windmills requires these rare earth minerals, which I know you have talked about with many guests over the years, where China right now is the world's main producer. And Europe does have some deposits of these, but because they're very dirty to extract and refine, Europe has no interest in doing that. So Europe is pursuing this policy for renewable energy that forces Europe to consume these minerals where China is the predominant producer of them. And Europe is not taking steps to wean itself off of that vulnerability. And I think that is the clearest evidence at the moment that Europe still has not fully understood what it's going to have to do to rebalance its economic relationship with China to ensure European economic security there.
I take it, Joe, then we don't have an answer to this, but it's a question that needs to be explored. Is the factory floor coming home to Europe or is it going to stay in China? Is there an answer that for right now?
Right now, it seems that what's going to happen is that it will either stay in China or it will go somewhere else. Maybe that will be Vietnam. Maybe it will be India. Maybe it will be Indonesia or Malaysia. It won't be staying in China. But I think that solves only part of the problem because Europe's real economic vulnerability is the lack of all of this economic activity in Europe. So until they can figure out what is the right mix of tax and regulatory and energy policies to make it possible for people to invest profitably in Europe and to have manufacturing capacity in Europe and service innovation in Europe, they're going to continue experiencing these economic vulnerabilities. And the only question is going to be, whom are they vulnerable to?
Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal, he writes the political economics column. We turn to life in London, especially because the population, a surprise. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.